Yep. Of course, you've heard of a scribe in the Bible, and the scribes were the ones who would take the Old Testament scriptures, and then they would copy them. Therefore, they were the ones that provided what written scriptures there were in the days prior to the printing press. Anyway, we're going to talk today about a scribe's pen, but before we get there, I want to have a little introductory remarks to make. I looked out your window and noticed a neighbor across the street or next door doing something that to you looks rather strange. And then you make the comment to yourself or to somebody else, I wonder what he's up to now. There are a lot of details regarding the story of the beginning of man in the garden, Adam and Eve, that continually fascinate me. And of all the, I guess, of the stories and of all the scriptures, none seemingly reveal more and more information to me, new thoughts, than about the story of Adam and Eve. I've often thought about just sitting down and going through all the years of my sermons and seeing all the various ideas that have come to me as a result of the story of Adam and Eve. But anyway, you know the story of God's creation of man, and you know probably the details forwards and backwards, especially about the temptation. Now, let us just imagine this event taking place. Now, it's not described in the Bible. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. It may not even have happened. But let us just imagine that Satan was not the only angel in the garden. I had never thought about that. You know, we say we have guardian angels around us, and we know there were other angels in the garden at the end, a flaming sword in his hand to keep Adam and Eve out once they were cast out. Were there other angels in the garden prior to, of course, this one that was placed there to keep Adam and Eve out? So let us suppose that there were other angels in the garden, not fallen angels, good angels. And they were there just sort of as onlookers of what God was going to do with his new created man and woman, because that was a fascination to them, because they had been made a little bit lower than the angels. And to their surprise, into the garden comes, guess who? That old fallen angel, once named Lucifer, we now call him Satan. And I can almost hear one of the angels say, what's he doing here? Doesn't he know that he doesn't belong here? Does he not know that he is not welcome here? And like the neighbor next door, I wonder what he's up to. And of course, that's not in the Bible. I always try to preface this so you'll know that, well, that's not in the Bible. I know it's not in the Bible. But let's suppose that angels were in the garden, and let's suppose that angels did see Lucifer approach Eve, and let's just wonder, as I just mentioned to you. Now, this was the first appearance of Satan, the fallen angel, in the garden. That is the first appearance, as far as we know, in the garden. It was the first appearance, as far as we know, to mankind. I don't think he approached Eve before this. I doubt if he approached Adam before this. We're not told that either. But usually when you have a first in anything, that is history, as something of note to take a notice of. You've all heard the saying, the slogan, or the motto, make your first shot count, because you may not get another one. Now, that's probably coming from someone who hunted birds or ducks or something, you know, and they had one shot or deer, and if you missed, the animal would fly off or run off, the bird would fly off, and the animal would run off, and so you would not get yourself a second shot. So you say, make your first shot count. Now, there were a lot of temptations, I would assume, that Satan could come up with to offer Eve. But among that list of many temptations, I think he had to say, I've got to make my first shot count. I have to come up with the best temptation I can, the one that's going to be the most likely to succeed, and if it does, the one that will bring about the most devastating destruction and loss of what God wants of Adam and Eve. I've got to make my first shot count. And so this would be a very important decision which Satan would have to make. What would he offer to Eve? What would he say to me, Eve? What was he up to? Now, we are familiar with the temptation that he gave to Eve, but we still don't really know what the devil was up to in tempting her. That is, what was it that the devil was going to try to accomplish in this temptation that he presented to Eve to eat the forbidden fruit? For the most part, I have always assumed, well, he wanted Eve to disobey God's command, which would result, of course, of her falling into sin, which then, of course, would result in her coming under a death penalty, and that would wreck God's plans for man's existence on the earth and for God's able to possess man and keep man and receive benefit and blessing from man. I've always assumed that was what was, that's what he was up to. But from the substance of the temptation, I've had some second thoughts about that, and that doesn't really seem to be the devil's main concern. Now, we wonder how Eve could have been so gullible, and if Adam was standing very close by where she could just hand him some fruit to eat also, you wonder, well, why did Adam allow Eve to be tempted and not step in on her behalf? There are a lot of questions about this story that I have no answers for. How come Eve was so easily talked in to eating the forbidden fruit, especially when she knew what God had said? She even told the devil what God had said. And what's really remarkable is that even the devil quoted what God said. I mean, there was a lot of knowledge of what the Lord had said. Genesis 1:1-3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, that's what the devil said to her. And that's correct. And the woman said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, and she has nor touch it, lest you die." Now, note well that Satan made a reply to her regarding the commandment that the Lord had made. He said, "Yea, God has said to you." Now, he knew what God had said. How do you know this? Had he been eavesdropping? He's not all-knowing. He must have heard this commandment given to them. He must have been sniffing around the garden. I think other angels heard this. Now, I'm putting my other angels back in there again. He says, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, he didn't specify which one she could not eat of. She did that. But he did, you know, bring up the question of the commandment of the Lord. Now, this is a first. It's the first argument that Satan presents as to why God should not be obeyed. It's the first reason that Satan says that sin is not wrong and it's not harmful. You say, "Oh, preacher, you've lost me now." Now, it has to be the best shot that he can take. It's going to have to be his best chance. It's going to be the only thing that he can think of that will bring man to the point that he'll be convinced that he ought to sin, that it will be smart to sin. Now, it's still the first, number one priority way that the devil deals with mankind. It's still a first, just like he did with Eve. Why has he stuck with it? Because it worked the first time, and folks, it still works. And it doesn't just work with those folks that are fallen. It worked, I want to remind you, first of all, with a woman who had not yet fallen. And after she fell, of course, she was hook, line, and sinker, hooked by this argument of the devil. But it's also something that today, Christian, if you're not careful, it'll work just as well with you as it will with an unsaved person. What was he trying to do? How did he persuade Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit? Let us note well, what Christ says of the devil. In John 8:44-45, he says to those who were his enemies, and notice his description now of Satan. You are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Well, why do we do the lustful things that he desires for us to do? Why should I be so cooperative with the devil? How is he so able to convince me to jump in the frying pan? Now, Jesus goes on and says, he was a murderer from the beginning, that is, he cost Adam and Eve their life by this temptation. But notice, and he bowed not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Wherefore he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And I tell you the truth, alright? Now do you notice Jesus says, identifying himself with God, I am the truth. And then informs us that the devil says lies. But he also implies the devil claims to tell the truth. And the question that Eve had to face and the question and you and I have to face is just simply this. Who is telling me the truth? Is it God or is it the devil? Who is telling me the truth? Satan's attack was first directed not at Eve, but at God. And the first temptation was designed to get Eve to turn and declare God to be a liar. He said, God has told you, you will die. I tell you, you will not die. Now, folks, you and I make decisions based on what we believe. I'll say that again. You and I make decisions on what we believe to be the truth. The first thing that Satan must do to get you to do anything else is to convince you God is a liar. God has not told you the truth, and that what he tells you is the truth. Why do you think today the Bible has been taken out of our school system? Because people are saying the Bible is not the truth. We don't want the minds of our students exposed to the lies found in the Bible. The Bible is an unreliable book. Every other book in our library is a book of truth. The only book, the most dangerous book in all the world, is a book of lies known as the Bible. That's really what the attack is, people, today in our whole society. And you see a great mounting effort to turn upon those who believe and say, the Bible says. And they put their fingers in their ears and they say, we don't want to hear what the Bible says. Why do they do that? We are tired of the lies that you find in the Bible. We want the truth. What is the truth? Well, you've got the New Age movement, and you just got plain old style worldliness, and you've got the lust of the flesh, and all these things being advocated today by our society, the world system, and that's being declared, this is the truth. This is the hope of our future. People are believing lies, but at the same time, they're saying it's the truth. And they're doing what they're doing, and they're going along with the abortions and everything else in our country because they believe God is the liar and the devil is the one that tells the truth. If the devil can't convince you that God is a liar, he can't get you to do anything to oppose your God. It's a very simple, logical way to deal with things. Today, the world boldly proclaims God is the one that is the liar. Now, the Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. But the rest of the fools, who are an atheist, say in their heart God doesn't know the truth. Or if he does, he won't tell the truth, which implying God is the fool. Now that's really what Satan was up to convince Eve God was wrong, that God was a liar. And if that's true, then you can disregard God's laws because they are not right and they are not good because they're not based on what is true. So therefore, you can just ignore them. Now, Christian, how many of us have been talked into the same logic? You going to church this morning? I don't have to go to church. Did you know the Bible says on every Sabbath day Jesus was in the synagogue? Well, I don't have to follow Jesus. Now, who told you that? Who told you that? He said to the disciples, follow me. Well, I don't have to go to church. Well, either God is a liar when he says, forsake not the assembly, or he's telling you the truth. Either he went there himself because it was right, or he lied to you and deceived you. I'm telling you, people, do you tithe? No, I'm not going to tithe. God said it was right. Well, God's a liar. I believe the devil. You know, folks, how many of us who claim to be Christians have really, in a real sense, gone against the clear commandments of God, abstained from all appearance of evil? How many of you still watching television shows that are so filthy and so carnal that when Jesus comes, you'd be ashamed to be seen watching them? You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I'm telling you, the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, God's a liar. The truth is, you can look at all you want to and don't do anything to you. It won't bother you. It doesn't affect you. That's a lie. See, folks? You bought into the system. God doesn't tell the truth. You're buying into it. Same way Eve bought into it. I can do that and it won't hurt me. I can do this over here and it won't hurt me. It won't bother me. I mean, God's wrong. I'm sorry to say, folks, that's not right. God is not wrong. God is right. And you know, the world has probably no lower opinion of anybody than a child abuser, and second, is a liar. You can almost call anybody something but a liar. And you say, boy, don't call me a liar. You know, even though you may be lying through your teeth, you speak with forked tongue, as the Indian says, we don't want to be called that. We don't want to be labeled that. And Satan's desire is to place that label on God. That's what he did in the garden with Eve. He said, Eve, I want to give you a new label for your God. The new label is, he is a liar. And the reason he's a liar is that he is a fool. He doesn't know right from wrong and good from bad and best from worst. Eve, you're being taken in by a man that doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, folks, how many of you look at the Bible with that same viewpoint? Well, God doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, my situation is different. Times have changed. Oh, I tell you, the devil uses that one. Times change. Well, I'm afraid that times have changed, but I don't believe the truth is true. Truth can't change, people. Truth is truth. No matter how long, truth will always be truth. Up is always up and down is always down. Truth is truth. Wet's always wet and dry is always dry. Truth is truth. God has always been truth. But the devil, who is a liar, does not want you to believe. If you really believe the truth, then you'd do the truth. Now, according to Revelation, about one-third of the angels in heaven that had been created by God agreed when Satan himself was convinced by himself that God had told a lie and that God had not told the truth, and he rebelled against God. About a third of the other angels were talked into the same idea that he was, and that many of them fell. He convinced other angels to believe that God was a liar, just like he did. I still believe the devil believed God is a liar. I mean, he's a stupid, stupid, stupid person. He was a stupid angel in the first place to fall. I mean, that's about the most stupid thing you could do, is to fall. Eve did the same thing. Based on the same concept, though, God did not tell me the truth. But God did tell you the truth. Now, when God made Adam and Eve in the garden, they were made to glorify him, to bring him pleasure, to enjoy his company and to believe him.
See?
And to believe him. Satan despised that plan of God. And he desired to work it where millions of people would disbelieve what God said. God desired that everyone he created and all their descendants would believe him. Satan came along and said, no, I don't want them to believe him. Folks, if you don't believe God, you go into sin. If you go into sin, you don't glorify God. You don't bring him happiness. He can't enjoy your company. Satan took God away from man just simply by convincing man God does not tell the truth. It seems like Satan just has a fit at the idea that we would believe. And just think how many times the Bible tells you in the New Testament, believe, believe, believe. They believe. And the devil says, no, don't you believe. Don't you believe. Don't you believe. And how many of us are guilty of not believing? But your conduct and your actions today, if you really believe the scripture about forsake not the assembly, if you really believe that Jesus will be congregating today with other congregations, he'll be there where they gather. If you really believe that, people, you'd go. You'd go. Let me give you an illustration. Say a rattlesnake is spotted by you resting on a rock, but you have never heard or seen a rattlesnake in your life. You've got two boys with you, and Jack says to you, who of course are totally ignorant of what these things are, he says, that is called a rattlesnake, and you must not get near it, you must not pick it up, it will bite you, and it has a poison in its fangs that will kill you. And that's what Jack says. I don't know. I've never seen a rattlesnake. So my other opinion named John says to me, aw, rattlesnakes are harmless. You can pick them up, and they won't bite you, and they have no poison, and they won't hurt you. Now, I have two conflicting opinions, one from Jack and one from John, and I don't know who to believe. But, you know, it's kind of risky to prove that Jack is wrong if I pick the thing up and it's poisonous, and I get bit and I die and say, hey, John, you lied to me. Oh, well, it's too late then. Now, if I believe Jack, is telling me the truth, therefore, people will not pick up the snake. If I believe John, I'll pick it up, or at least get so close to it that it could strike me. My action is based on which one of these two people with me I believe. And so long as I believe Jack, there's no way in the world for that rattlesnake to bite me. There's no way in the world for that rattlesnake to get close enough to me to bite me. I believe Jack. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Folks, it's the same little old snake, somebody says, as you watch it on television. Oh, it won't bite you. It won't hurt you. I'm telling you, God says it will. God says it'll bite you. It'll stir up your flesh. We've got a lot of folks today doing things that they see on television. They're copying them. Folks, I tell you, if I believed Jack, the snake can't get me. If I believe God, the spiritual snake, Satan, can't bite me. He can't convince me to do evil because I believe God. I want to read our scripture about the scribes pen before we close. Jeremiah chapter 8, 5 through 6 and 8 through 9. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They refuse to believe. I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright, no man repented of his wickedness, because he says, what have I done wrong? Everyone has turned to his own course. Why? Because the scribe's pen has written in vain, the Lord does not speak the truth.